welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
My name is Liz Dyson. I'm a member of the Seeds community. I'm a minister in the Uniting Church, and I'm a hospital chaplain. I work at Ashford Hospital. I'd like you to imagine for a moment that you know you're going to be stuck on a desert island and you don't know how long for, but you're allowed to pack, before you go, one page of text. Could be a bit of the Bible, or it could be a song that you know, or it could be a poem that you find helpful. If you had one page of text to sustain you through thick and thin, what would you choose? After immersing myself in the Philippians text for today, in recent weeks, I'm thinking perhaps this text might be a pretty good candidate for me on my desert island. The text before us, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi, is one that is read in many churches all over the world on Palm Sunday. It's the core of the Christian faith, distilled into a few verses, in the most finely crafted of nutshells. Paul himself had plenty of his own desert island experiences. He was shipwrecked more than once, imprisoned on several occasions. He had days and weeks of walking on the road for his missionary journeys. He had plenty of hours to work out what truth would sustain him through his many challenges. In fact, that we know that he was imprisoned as he wrote this letter to the Philippians. He knew about thick and thin. We find our text for today almost bang in the middle of the letter to the Philippians. And scholars tell us that when something is bang in the middle of a text, it often means we need to pay special attention to it. So as I said before, Paul was writing to the church in Philippi, who were living as part of the Roman colony under imperial rule, which was no picnic. And this letter gives us an inkling that there was the threat of inner division as well for the Philippians. It appears that there were some relational challenges going on, or at least the suggestion that cracks were beginning to form in the unity of this church. So the Philippians knew a bit about thick and thin too. Despite all of this, Paul made the decision as he wrote to them that what the church needed wasn't to be told off for their disunity. He wanted to cast their vision higher and to remind them of the person and the event that created and defined their life together. Today, I want to focus on some important words in this passage, words that have been there all along but are standing out to me this week as though they are in bold or maybe in flashing lights. They are right at the beginning in verse 1. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, if any sharing in the Spirit, make my joy complete. Did we ever need these words more than we do now? Most translations use the word if in this text, if there is then any encouragement in Christ. And I wonder if you have. Have you ever experienced any encouragement in Christ? I wonder if you've experienced the consolation of God's love. Do you know what it's like to share and feel connected with others through the Holy Spirit? I had all of these experiences just in the last week. Last Sunday, I tuned into the Seeds online worship experience from my own home. And as I sang, I had a sense that I was surrounded by a cloud of witnesses all around the surrounding suburbs doing the same thing. And then afterwards, I tuned in to watch a friend of mine lead worship in Macau, just near Hong Kong there. And during it, I felt connected to people worshipping all around the globe. I felt encouraged to head off to work for another week in the hospital after that worship. And I have to say, each day can feel pretty heavy in the hospital setting at the moment, but this worship, the sense of being together, of sharing in the Spirit, buoyed me along. That encouragement, that consolation, that sense of connection with God and with people of faith, far and near, as I watched the worship in Macau, brought me to tears. God is well and truly present and at work in God's people and in our communities, wherever we are. The scholars tell us that the Greek word translated as if could equally be translated as since. And that really changes the way it feels. Since then, there is encouragement in Christ. Since there is consolation from love and from sharing in the Spirit, since you know the compassion and sympathy of Christ, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. These things aren't just possibilities. They are concrete realities for us. We're currently having to exercise spatial distancing, but we appreciate now more than ever the importance of connecting socially and being connected spiritually. We are the people of God, the body of Christ, indwelt in all of us by the one Spirit. Whoever you are, wherever you are in the world listening to this, in Christ, we are one. Paul goes on to write, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." These are words we could do well to write at the top of our shopping lists to curb our toilet paper or pasta hoarding behaviour, or in our diaries if we're tempted to go out to non-essential gatherings at the moment. These are useful words when we are tempted to hog the Netflix at home or eat too much of the cereal. Now more than ever, Christ's model of valuing others above our own interests can in large and small ways make a big difference and transform our world. Now come verses 5 to 11, some of the most quoted and studied verses in all of Scripture. Many scholars believe that verses 6 to 11 may not have been written by Paul at all, but may have been a poem or a hymn of the early church that Paul knew and possibly the other Christians in the area knew as well. And having heard this, it makes sense. If you have it there in front of you, you should be able to see it. The rhythm of the letter changes, the layout on the page, and there's a very different feel about this section. We don't know who may have written it. It may have been Paul, and it may have been circulating for a while before it reached the Philippians in this letter. But regardless of who wrote these verses, Paul really takes them on board. As I said before, we can suspect they're important because they're right in the middle of the letter to the Philippians. And then he repeatedly uses words and themes from this hymn throughout the rest of the letter to the Philippians and also throughout a lot of his other letters to other churches. So, this has had a big impact on Paul, this poem or hymn or this section. So we have the first section of our text we know is written by Paul, and then the last part of our text possibly written by someone else, and then between the two sections, Paul places a pivotal verse, like a hinge in a door that holds the whole thing together. Verse 5, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." This word mind, I think in English, doesn't have quite the same meaning as in biblical Greek. It appears 23 times in Paul's letters and 10 of them appear in the Philippians letter. The biblical Greek word for mind embraces a number of ideas. It's a combination of the intellect, but also of the emotions, the head and the heart. And they're both working together towards a positive course of action. It's not just what you think, but it's what you feel and what you do. Paul is effectively saying in verse 5, to become in action what you already are in belief. Be true followers of Christ. Be more fully what you already became when you decided to follow Jesus. Paul calls the Philippians not merely to believe the good news, but to become the good news. Become the good news and demonstrate its principles to the community around them as they went about their daily lives. When I first became a hospital chaplain around 10 years ago now, I used to sit at work and stress about where I should be and what I should be doing. I knew there were a lot of trouble spots around the hospital, places of stress and sadness, places of isolation. How was I supposed to know where they all were? I had a great and weighty sense of responsibility, and I had an urge to sprint around the building looking for my work. A wise woman suggested to me that as I was walking around the corridors, I could imagine Jesus walking beside me. I must admit it sounded a bit corny at the time, but I remember where I was the first day I actually tried it. I was in the back corridor on level 4 of Flinders Private Hospital. And the moment I started imagining Jesus there beside me, my behaviour immediately changed. I noticed I was walking too fast. Jesus would be walking slowly. He would be looking around and taking in what was going on. He would notice that person sitting up in bed, looking longingly out the window or out of the door, hoping that someone would see them and come and talk to them. He would notice the staff member with a downcast face. He would definitely not be sprinting. This changed everything for me. I walk a lot more slowly now as I do my chaplaincy work, and I pause often, and that's when the magic happens. So I encourage you to do the same thing. If you're self-isolating at home and you've run out of things to do, if the kids are driving you mad, if you're at work or at a hospital or at a supermarket and the person in front of you is making life difficult, whatever you're doing, and especially if you're struggling, I invite you to imagine Christ beside you, because Christ is already beside you and within you. How do you think he would be managing it? Allow him to be your model. I wonder what happens to you when you read these verses, verses 5 to 11. I have to say, I love these verses. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Our big God made small, bending low, humbling himself, emptying himself, giving himself away, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross for us. But then, thank goodness, from verse 9, God also exalting him and giving him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God stretching all the way up to full height again, in full celebration of all that God is. Jesus' name as the highest name, God exalting him to the highest place. Everyone knowing who God is, every knee bowing, every tongue confessing that Jesus is good and worthy to be loved and praised and to be followed. In a time when so many of us and even our leaders and experts are feeling uncertain and powerless, this text tells us that God's signature move is power in weakness. How do we know? David versus Goliath, a vulnerable baby born in a stable. Moses, who claimed he was slow of speech and of tongue, becoming a great leader of the Israelite people. God loves to take weakness and bring out of it power and life. Today is Palm Sunday, the day we remember that Jesus entered Jerusalem not on a mighty war horse, but on a donkey. Jesus knew what he had to do, set his face towards it, though he knew there would be great suffering. In some ways, here in Australia and further abroad, it feels very much like we're perched on the edge of Holy Week. The pandemic is showing itself. Many of our lives, so filled with activity and movement and colour a few weeks ago, are changing. Livelihoods have been lost. We worry for those we love, or we worry for ourselves. But then there is the scripture for today. Several thousands of years old, it's firm and concrete and true, and has sustained followers of Jesus through every kind of challenge in every generation. It says, God is bigger than all of this. Yes, we're entering Jerusalem, but we're not going alone. We're walking with someone who's willingly trodden this path before. We know that God is with us, that whatever happens, whether we are sick or well, rich or poor, even whether we live or die, God holds us. There are a lot of things we don't know, but these things we do know. For weeks, I've been looking forward to preaching at Seeds about subversive Jesus, to talk about ways in which our culture as people of faith is called to be different from our surrounding culture. And then, to my surprise, we arrive at this moment to find that many in our world who have been racing around chasing whatever is most sparkly, whatever is fleeting, whatever is like grass that will blow away, now, in the face of the way the world is changing, are wanting to talk about and think about what we as Christians have been wanting to think about and talk about for a really long time. What does it mean to love our neighbour? What is life for? Can there be firm ground when everything you thought was important comes crashing down? Can there be encouragement and consolation and sharing when life is difficult and we are feeling isolated? People of faith have been working on these things for a while now. We've been watching and slowly learning to imitate Jesus, the best model for living we could ever have. We have some important things to offer. I suspect some people will be noticing this. This time is fertile ground for rich and significant conversations. Be ready for them. And always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. And do this with gentleness and respect. Let's pray. Thank you, Creator God. You made this world and are big enough to hold it even now. Thank you, Jesus. You've walked among us and you know what it is to suffer as a human being and to give yourself for others. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are in us and around us and holding us together. In our weakness and our fear, be our peace. In our familiar yet now unfamiliar daily lives, in the love we are learning to have for those around us, loving God, three in one, show your power and your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.